So tonight we're talking about success, and particularly a spiritual approach to success. So what is success? It's different things to different people, that's for sure. And I think the one thing that's very, very important, if we're looking at it from a spiritual perspective, is that we should always only take our own definition of it. In other words, we should be a success in our own eyes according to our own value system and what we think is successful. Now, if you listen to what society generally refers to as a successful person, it usually involves wealth. How much wealth did the person accrue? Or how much fame, how well known are they? You very rarely hear about somebody referred to as a successful person by saying, you know, they're a very happy person, they're a successful person, or they're healthy, they've managed to be very healthy, therefore they're a successful person, or they have maintained a very happy marriage or a happy family life. So there are societal definitions of what success is. But what is very interesting is the things that we define as being successful as we are going along and through our developmental stages as we go along life seem not quite to be the same things that people regard as having been a successful life when they are dying. It's a very interesting book that has been written by a nurse called Bronnie Ware, who found herself in palliative care, and she wrote a book called The Top Five Regrets of Dying. And the interesting thing is that if you look at what people feel about their lives when they know they are about to lose their life, the first thing that came top of the list, top of the regrets, was, I wish I hadn't worked so hard. Now, the thing that's interesting about this, if you're looking from a spiritual perspective, is that is usually the excuse that people will use not to pursue their spiritual life, not to do their meditation, for example. Almost everybody who becomes irregular with TM will say, I didn't have the time. And I didn't have the time because I was working so hard. A couple of the other things that come up on that list is, I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. And we would talk about that in terms of being self-referral as opposed to being object-referral. A person who defines themselves from inside out, their sense of identity, their sense of values, the things they would like from life, should come from inside and not from outside by all the outside cues and boxes and isms that are imposed on us from society. And a couple of the others, I won't spend too much time on this. I wish I'd stayed in touch with my friends. I wish I'd had the courage to express my feelings. And very interestingly, I wish I'd let myself be happier. Now, if we have a look at some of the quotes around happiness that Mauritius has put out, let's just read a couple. Enjoy your life and be happy. Being happy is of the utmost importance. Success in anything is through happiness. So we're actually saying that happiness brings success. More supportive nature comes from being happy. Under all circumstances, be happy. Even if you have to force it a bit to change some long-standing habits. Just think of negativity that comes to you as a raindrop falling in the ocean of your bliss. You may not always have an ocean of bliss, but think that way anyway, and it will help it come. Doubting is not blissful, and it does not create happiness. Be happy, be healthy, and let all that love flow through your heart. That was Maharishi from January 1987, and here's another very, very beautiful quote by him on happiness. Don't worry about the situation of the world. You must be very happy. Very, very happy. Only through happiness and waves of bliss you'll be able to help your country and the entire world in an automatic manner. You'll remain ever invincible when you don't allow anything to obscure your happiness. So it seems that happiness is a very integral part of being successful. And if we take someone like Abraham Lincoln, who certainly is considered to be one of the world's most successful presidents ever, he was extremely, extremely popular with the people at the time, and he had a mission, which was to abolish slavery, which he was successful at. Of course, it cost him his life. But one can only say there is an extremely successful president. But it's reported that after he had actually abolished slavery, and he was successful with that, that he had said to Mrs. Lincoln, "Let us try and both be happier now, because we've both been extremely unhappy." They had lost a son during the course of his presidency, and he was saying, "Let's strive to be a little happier, and we've both been very unhappy lately." And it's sort of sad that such an amazing man with such a vision and such a character like Abraham Lincoln would have been unhappy. And that's one of the things that we are incredibly fortunate with today, and with especially with a technique like TM, is that even the most successful and busy people, provided they take the time to meditate, can also have the happiness in their lives. Because happiness is in any case never going to come from outside. Even when you've achieved your greatest ambitions, as in the case of Lincoln, abolishing slavery, one can be very personally unhappy unless one is in contact with inner bliss. Now, in a few minutes, we'll be playing a tape on Dharma. And just before we do, let's take a look at this issue of wealth. Because wealth is considered such an integral part of success. And then there's the other side of it, which is that quote where it's easier for a rich man to... It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven. Which is saying basically that riches corrupt and stop people from becoming enlightened. Now, that was never Maharishi's view. Maharishi actually believed in 200% of life, 100% absolute, pure consciousness, non-changing field of life, but also 100% of the relative. We don't need to be deprived, but unless there is a balance, if it is only relativity and only materialism, then, of course, it's very harmful to life. Maharishi explains that quote about the camel and the eye of the needle by saying, in this case, richness actually means egotistic. In other words, someone who doesn't bother to make contact with the force of evolution. In this case, it is more difficult for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for that kind of a rich man, egotistical, breaking all contact with the force of evolution to enter heaven. That is for sure. But there's a very nice quote where Maharishi is saying that wealth is good for the enlightened. Money is not enough. This is a quote from 2003. Money is not enough. Money is needed for everything in the world, but it's not enough for fulfillment of life. What is needed is knowledge. Money is good, but in ignorance, it's a big, huge damage to life. Money is good in the state of enlightenment. But the state of enlightenment in itself will be positive and fruitful and so on. And he's reminding the materialistic civilization of America to come to a realistic civilization where there'll be unity, there'll be diversity, but it's not about money. It's actually about the mind that will hold natural law. So once we have the balance, then riches are good, it's a sign of nature's support, and of course we can do good with it. All the great philanthropists of the world that are upholding great causes are wealthy. Now the other concept that I think is really important in this whole discussion of success is an understanding of dharma. Now, dharma is that which sustains. Dharma is one's natural duty. Dharma is what one is supposed to do, one's natural duty, how one's supposed to spend one's life. And it includes all moral goodness, right action, justice, freedom, lawfulness, all the principles that uphold and support life. So people are always saying, what is my dharma? And is dharma different from person to person? Now, just one or two sentences on how Maharishi would address this, and then we'll listen to the tape. The principle of success, or the principle of successful action, is summarized in Yogastha Kuru Kamani, which means established in being, perform action. You see, individual life is naturally linked with cosmic life. And so one must follow one's duty or dharma, and that means one must be progressive. The moment one isn't progressing, moving in a more evolutionary direction, when moment one's awareness is no longer imbibed in being, then we're going to actually suffer. And that's when nature punishes us. So punishment, failure, should always be seen as a way that nature is nudging us back towards Yogastha Kuru Kamani. So when the dharma is that the individual awareness is imbibed in being, then it equals action, it equals karma. When awareness is permanently established in being, then we're successful, and that formula is Yogastha Kuru Kamani. And so definitely, the moment we're out of dharma, nature will punish us. So what we need to do is create or strengthen the link between individual life and the force of evolution, because the more it gets strengthened, the more successful we'll be. That's really our only safety. And then we will be switched on to our own dharma. Now, there was a time where there was a thing called family dharma, and in many ways that was simpler for people, because if people followed the family dharma, that was a tradition where people were born in a particular family, they engaged in a particular profession because that was their parental heritage, they worked efficiently, they looked after their material needs for themselves, they made a good contribution to society, and because they were working with ease and comfort, they didn't exhaust themselves in work, and for that reason they found time to be regular in their practice for meditation and spiritual unfoldment, which is the basis of all success in life. Now, unfortunately, of course, we don't have that much. Those traditions have broken down. And so people need to find their own individual dharma. But people very much need to find what works for them and not what they are pressured into or brainwashed into thinking works for them. There's a very interesting quote from the Bhagavad Gita where Maharishi says in his commentary, better is death in one's own dharma. The dharma of another brings danger. So it's evident that there's a greater danger to life than the phenomenon of death itself. And that is, if you are in the dharma of somebody else, then your life is not going to be in an evolutionary direction. So it's not a question of whether the lawyer or the doctor has a more elevated dharma. It's more suitable for certain people. The person who's sweeping the streets, if that's what they're comfortable with, or any more simple dharma possibly, provided it is dharma for them, then it will support their evolution and they will be successful. Now, I think what this now brings us to is the main purpose of dharma, which Maharishi will discuss in the tape, and that is, it's not about so much whether we do this or that. It's about that we recognize as human beings that once we are born with a human nervous system, it is our dharma to become enlightened. It is our dharma to evolve. And the tape begins by Maharishi saying, first duty is to ourselves. And then having established a practice of regular meditation, and the formula really for dharma is simply do TM and have activity during the day. That's all. Basic principle, do TM, have activity during the day and don't get too exhausted. And then the activity can be anything, whatever is enjoyable. We should actually choose love and not fear when we make these choices for ourselves. And you'd simply have to pick up something great and do it. That's a Maharishi quote. Just pick up something great and do it. But great means whatever we are comfortable with, whatever doesn't exhaust us, whatever supports our evolution, doesn't absolutely strain us all the time. So just have a desire and shuffle your feet. And for the rest, it doesn't matter. You can do anything as long as it is life-supporting. Something that in somehow makes a better world. Leaves the world or your family or the people around you a little bit better. More importantly, that doesn't actually damage. Something that is not life-damaging. And then it doesn't matter so much what it is, provided the activity is simply the way that we fade the cloth. You know, we use the analogy with TM that we dip the dye and then we fade the cloth. Well, that's really what we're doing. Activity is to fade, it's to stabilize pure consciousness. It's to stabilize what we contact during TM. Now, here's quite a nice definition of success. This is not, this is a quote by a Bessie Anderson Stanley, and she says, to laugh often and much, to win the respect of intelligent people and the affection of children, to earn the appreciation of honest critics and endure the betrayal of false friends, to appreciate beauty, to find the best in others, to leave the world a bit better, whether by a healthy child, a garden patch, or a redeemed social condition. To know even one life has breathed easier because you have lived. This is to have succeeded. It's very beautiful. It takes a lot of pressure. I'll read you a couple of other quotes by other people. It's interesting how people have defined success. Very simple quote by Bob Dylan. A man is a success if he gets up in the morning, gets to bed at night, and in between he does what he wants to do. Most people don't have that freedom or take that freedom. Nice quote by Albert Einstein. Try not to become a man of success, rather become a man of value. Nice one by Winston Churchill. Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. And once again, another nice principle, keep your best wishes close to your heart and watch what happens. That's a Tony DeLiso. But the thing is, Maharishi is always saying the subtle levels of thought are more powerful. And that brings us to the whole understanding of Ritam, Ritam Bara Pragyan. The part of the mind, the junction point between the finest thought and pure consciousness or transcending. We're all quite familiar with the bubble diagram. And if you go to that very, very bottom bubble of the bubble diagram before we transcend, that is called Ritam Bara Pragyan. It means that which knows only truth. And whatever you can think from that level, you can manifest. That is why, as meditators, as TMers, we begin to have access to that part of the mind regularly. And our thoughts are naturally felt, conceived at that deeper level, and much more likely to manifest. There's a very beautiful quote by Maharishi on softest thinking. This is a quote from 2004. Achieve things through thought. Achieve things through thought. We are projecting against the prevailing idea of working hard, working hard, working hard. Progress through hard work? Success through hard work? No, it's a waste of time. We need to change the concept of life. Fulfillment of desire not through hard work. Fulfillment of desire through soft thinking. Soft thinking. As soft and softer and softer, it's more powerful to engage the total natural law. Soft thinking, not hard thinking, and absolutely not hard work. Definitely not through hard work, but through thought. Thinking from that level of being, softest, softest, because that is the level of intelligence that is lively on the basis of all creation. So the thoughts travel over and invite all the creativity of innumerable values of natural law. And then with the total parental role of the Almighty God, nothing is impossible. Absolutely nothing is impossible. So let's finish with a couple more quotes. Many people like to think that they'll find balance after they find success, but in reality, achieving balance is success. So balance between the absolute and the relative, between meditating regularly and shuffling our feet and going in the direction of our desires. And our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at things in life that don't really matter. So let's finish off with a couple of other brief concepts, quoting from Maharishi. One is the quality, the value of time. Those who have accomplished, this is Maharishi, those who have accomplished great things in the world have been those who have valued time. Time is limited in this life, and much evolution must be accomplished for fulfillment. The time factor must therefore be valued above everything else. And the other thing is simply, once we are meditating regularly, our thoughts are powerful. Maharishi had said, be careful what you want, because you'll get it. So, but those people who really and truly succeed are the ones who think success and then persist. Here's another quote. If we think of defeat, that is what we get. If we are undecided, then nothing will happen for us. We must just pick up something great and do it. Never think of failure at all, for as we think now, that is what we get. And here's another quote. Efficiency and success comes from one-pointedness of purpose. That's all. When awareness of the goal is vital, it finds a path for success. And finally, until one is committed, there is hesitating, the chance to draw back, always ineffectiveness. Concerning all acts of initiative and creation, there is one elemental truth, the ignorance of which kills countless ideas and splendid plans, that the moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. All sorts of things occur to help one that would never have otherwise occurred. A whole stream of events issue from the decision, raising in one's favor all manner of unseen incidents and meetings and material assistance, which no man could have dreamed would have come his way. So those are some ideas on spiritual approaches to success. We have always to remember, famous quote, that we are spiritual beings having a human experience, not human beings having an occasional spiritual experience. We should go for all the success we can possibly get without sacrificing our real dharma, which is to become enlightened, because the one feeds the other. Let's put on the tape now, beautiful tape by Maharishi on dharma.